In that event, we'll move to the second case this morning, the United States versus David Franklin.
May it please the court, my name is Anthony Delier, and I represent David Franklin. I ask only for a moment of your patience so that we have a complete record on this case as well. This case, Your Honor, is another case that is about who should decide on all matters relating to convictions and sentencing and the burden of proof that should be used. We believe that it is constitutionally guaranteed that it can be no one other than a jury and only by beyond a reasonable doubt. This particular case is perhaps one of the few cases with extraordinary facts. And I apologize that the facts are not in the record, but I do not have control of the record. When my client appeared to enter his guilty plea, Judge Shabazz began to swear him in as a juror. Fortunately, I believe it was the government's attorney that interrupted the judge and reminded him that we were here for a plea and that he didn't need to swear in the defendant as a juror. Again, this is a case where I had a client who had a disagreement with a kilo of cocaine that was being attributed to him, an entire kilo of cocaine. And we talked at great length about what should we do, because he was furious that the person who had supplied him with the cocaine and then later on turned around and said that he was the source of the cocaine was now trying to put a kilo of cocaine on his sentencing.
You know, Mr. Delia, forgive me, but Mr. Franklin, as I recall, had 16 prior convictions?
That sounds correct.
The luck of the draw gave you Judge Shabazz. But Judge Shabazz certainly here seems to have considered all of the relevant Section 3553A factors. So a sentence in the middle of the advisory range, it's reasonable. Again, just as earlier, we have to look at Rita, the Supreme Court's opinion in Rita. And that case makes it clear that we can properly accord a presumption of reasonableness to a within-guideline sentence. And no matter what, that's the beginning and the end of it. You know, Congress has decided that there is a real war on drugs. And if someone wants to be a soldier in that war, they have to take the consequences. So
I apologize, Your Honor. I had kind of a rough time getting down here, and I'm not as prepared as I should be because there was a case that was just decided, Kimbrough, which I believe takes away that presumption and requires judges to consider carefully all these facts. And I don't know how a judge can say that he carefully considered the facts if there's an extra kilo of cocaine involved in the sentencing. And I cannot contest that extra kilo of cocaine in front of a judge by a preponderance of the evidence standard. I need to be able to have the opportunity to have a jury hear that sort of fact.
Well, that means you don't plea, right?
Well, unfortunately, Your Honor, that's a big part of the problem because we don't have the pre-sentence investigation before we do the plea. We don't know what's going to be in there. He had no idea that that kilo of cocaine would show up in the pre-sentence.
Okay. That's some surprise, and I guess that's what you would, you or whoever was there, would tell the judge. I don't know. Criticize Judge Shabazz as far as maybe he doesn't listen or something, whatever it is, but those are things you could say, that this came up in the PFR before the plea agreement. I assume all that would be recited. And
I can say those things, but then I risk my client losing acceptance of responsibility.
But you would make the argument for some other judge,
I assume. I would have. I would have made that argument in front of virtually any other judge. But it's not about Judge Shabazz. Judge Shabazz provides, I think, some compelling facts in this particular case, but it's about the Constitution and who should decide. The Supreme Court had it right way back then when they did
Ring. You don't raise a constitutional issue on the trial level. How do you raise it?
That's a big part of the problem, Your Honor. I can't raise it.
That's a big part of the problem. But you leave us with no solution. Our jurisdiction is limited to what was addressed below. I understand your problem, but there's no constitutional right to have a particular kind of judge on it.
No, I agree with that, but I'm not asking for a different judge. I'm asking
that's what
that,
you should have asked for, but you can't get it. So
But what I would really, what I think is necessary, because I'm not sure the people on the Supreme Court, or even Your Honors, understand the actual working relationship that we have to have with clients, because my job...
With who?
With our clients, because my job as an attorney is to advise him.
I agree with you.
We were all attorneys, and we really do understand, and we understand a lot more than you might think we understand about everything that you've said today.
Okay, well then, I hope, and I will finish with this, I hope you understand that it is our opinion that the Constitution did not want us to have the kind of relationship that I am forced to have with my clients. I'm forced to tell them, listen, I know, I believe you when you tell me you weren't responsible for that kilo of cocaine, but I would have to convince the judge that was swearing you in as a juror, who has a history of not being defendant-friendly, by a preponderance of the standard, evidence standard, that you weren't responsible. And, by the way, you could lose acceptance of responsibility, and while the guidelines may be advisory, he's going to use them, and you'll probably spend an actual half a decade in prison. Thank you.
Ms. Rumbleau.
Good morning again, Your Honors.
Making the same argument you made just a few minutes ago?
Yes, in this case, like the case below, has absolutely nothing to do with Judge Shabazz and how he sentences. Defendant Franklin was sentenced as a career offender. His guidelines were calculated because he has three qualifying convictions for career offender guidelines. One, felony substantial battery. Two, felony possession with intent to deliver cocaine, and three, felony escape. The relevant conduct that Defendant Franklin is complaining about on appeal had absolutely nothing to do with his sentence. In fact, the relevant conduct was completely irrelevant for sentencing purposes. It wouldn't have mattered if Defendant Franklin had been responsible for 5 grams of crack cocaine. He was sentenced as a career offender. That's what drove his guideline range of 262 to 327 months in this case. And the sentencing judge appropriately considered all of the 3553A factors, considered Mr. Franklin's 16 prior convictions, the fact that he had been undeterred by all of those criminal convictions, and appropriately and reasonably sentenced him in the middle of the properly calculated guideline range. I ask that this court affirm the judgment and conviction order of the district court. Thank you.
Hey, thank you. Do you have anything to add, Mr. Dilley?
The law is, and the law was at the time, that the judge would consider the 3553A factors. Again, how can a judge consider those factors if the factors aren't before him? Because the defendant was afraid to bring them before him. That is exactly what happens in these cases. It was a career offender sentence, but it wasn't at the bottom of that career offender guideline. And you could say, well, he had a lot of career offender material, 3 of them, and a lot of other prior convictions.
What was the bottom 20 year? What was the bottom of the career offender that you just mentioned?
Was it
20 years? Something
20
like
years.
That?
Yeah.
262. I apologize. So, the judge, again, is required by the law to use 3553A. So even under this sentencing scheme, it wouldn't work because he doesn't have all the facts in front of him. And he doesn't have the facts in front of him because under this sentencing scheme, clients have to forego their constitutional rights. Clients don't have a constitutional right to a fact finder that is not a judge, and they don't have the beyond a doubt standard. And so they're put in this trick bag where, well, the judge gave him a reasonable sentence. He used 3553A. The judge doesn't get to hear those things because the defendants and most of their attorneys tell them you can't risk it because, you know, he may or may not give you a little bit less if it wasn't for that 1,000 grams of cocaine, but he's for sure going to give you more if we go in there and contest it. How can that be fair? And I think that fairness, at the bottom of it all, is what the Constitution stood for. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. I know you were appointed for both of those, and we appreciate the work for your client. I just caution, though, that you do have to cite the cases as they are and as they're argued so that we at least have those before and know that at least you recognize them, even though you may disagree with them. So that's all I advise, because we obviously appreciate your taking on an assignment. Okay, thanks. This case will be taken under advisement.